Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. God and personal responsibility. Though it is somewhat lengthy, I wish to read to you the entirety of Ezekiel chapter 18. The word of the Lord came unto me again, saying, What mean ye that ye use this proverb concerning the land of Israel, saying, The fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. As I live, saith the Lord, ye shall not have occasion any more to use this proverb in Israel. Behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of the father, so also is the soul of the son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. But if a man be just, and do that which is lawful and right, and hath not eaten upon the mountains, neither hath lifted up his eyes to the idols of the house of Israel, neither hath defiled his neighbor's wife, neither hath come near to a minstrel's woman, and hath not oppressed any, but hath restored to the debtor his pledge, hath spoiled none by violence, hath given his bread to the hungry, and hath covered the naked with a garment, he that hath not given forth his usury, neither hath taken any increase, that hath withdrawn his hand from iniquity, hath executed true judgment between man and man, hath walked in my statutes, and hath kept my judgments to deal truly, he is just, and he shall live, saith the Lord. If a man begat a son that is a robber, a shedder of blood, and doeth that the like to any of these things, but that doeth not any of those duties, but even hath eaten upon the mountains and defiled his neighbor's wife, hath depressed the poor and the needy, hath spoiled by violence, and hath not restored the pledge, and hath lifted up his eyes to the idol, and hath committed abomination, hath given forth upon usury, and hath taken increase, shall he then live? He shall not live. He hath done all these abominations, he shall surely die. His blood shall be upon him. Now lo, if he begat a son that seeth all his father's sins which he hath done, and considereth, and doeth not such like, that hath not eaten upon the mountains, nor hath lifted up his eyes to the idols of the house of Israel, hath not defiled his neighbor's wife, neither hath oppressed any, and hath not spoken of withholding the pledge, neither hath spoiled by violence, but hath given his bread to the hungry, and hath covered the naked with a garment, that hath taken off his hand from the poor, that hath not received usury nor increase, hath executed my judgments, hath walked in my statutes, he shall not die for the iniquity of his father, for he shall live. As for his father, because he cruelly oppressed, spoiled his brother by violence, and did that which is not good among his people, lo, even he shall die in his iniquity. Yet ye say, Why? Doth not the son bear the iniquity of the father? When the son hath done that which is lawful and right, and hath kept all my statutes, and hath done them, he shall surely live. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. But if the wicked will turn from all his sins that he hath committed, and keep all my statutes, and do that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live, he shall not die. All his transgressions that he hath committed, they shall not be mentioned unto him. In his righteousness that he hath done, he shall live. Have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, saith the Lord, and not that he should return from his ways and live? But when the righteous turneth away from his righteousness, and committeth iniquity, and doeth according to all the abominations that the wicked man doeth, shall he live? All his righteousness that he hath done shall not be mentioned. In his trespass that he hath trespassed, and in his sin that he hath sinned, in them shall he die. Yet ye say, the way of the Lord is not equal. Hear now, O house of Israel, is not my way equal? Are not your ways unequal? When a righteous man turneth away from his righteousness and committeth iniquity and dieth in them, for his iniquity that he hath done he shall die. Again, when the wicked man turneth away from his wickedness that he hath committed, and doeth that which is lawful and right, he shall save his soul alive. Because he considereth and turneth away from all his transgression that he hath committed, he shall surely live and shall not die. Yet saith the house of Israel, the way of the Lord is not equal. O house of Israel, are not my ways equal? Are not your ways unequal? Therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, every one according to his ways, saith the Lord God. Repent and turn yourselves from all your transgressions, so iniquity shall not be your ruin. Cast away from you all your transgressions, whereby ye have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. For why will you die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord. Wherefore turn yourselves, and live ye. Such was the reading of the 18th chapter of the book of Ezekiel. Now the people of Israel and Judah considered their suffering to be due to the sins of others, not their personal sins. It is true that people often suffer because of the wrongdoing of those around them, but it is not true that people bear the guilt of the sins of those around them or those who have lived before them. Chapter 18 gives emphasis to personal responsibility each person has for what they say and do in life. It is a mistake to blame our sins on society or the environment or outside conditions and other people, even though these things may contribute to our weakness. Each one is responsible before God and accountable for his or her conduct. Now there was a proverb in the land that said, the fathers have eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge. The idea was that the fathers had sinned and the children were suffering because of their sins. Friend, it was true that the consequences of the sins of the previous generation were also being visited upon that generation. Now, this is a matter that is beyond dispute, how people can do wrong and bring hurt and harm on others. But the children were not guilty of the sins of their fathers, nor were the fathers guilty of the sins of their children, even though they may well have had some influence and effect upon each other. Ezekiel was pleading with the people, however, that the time had come when they could no longer look upon someone else and point the finger of blame. He said, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Each was responsible for his own sins. Death, which in this instance referred to spiritual separation from God, if not forgiven, which was conditioned upon repentance, would bring an eternal separation. In verses 5 through 13 defines righteousness and unrighteousness. If a man be just, he will be doing what is lawful and the things that ought to be done. He will not do some things simply because they are violations of God's law. He will do other things because God has declared them to be right. Righteous people are not those who simply refrain from doing evil. Even a wooden post could be called righteous if that was all that was required. A righteous person will and must be a doer of good deeds. James 4 and verse 17 says, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. A righteous man walks in the Lord's statutes, keeps the Lord's ordinances, deals truly with his fellow man, as well as refrain from doing those things which God decrees are evil. The prophet compared fathers and sons while continuing the theme of personal responsibility. First, he talks about a good father that may have an evil son. The father's goodness does not spare the evil son from the punishment the son deserves. There is the old adage that says, every tub must sit on its own bottom. Now, this is not scripture. But the idea is there when we think of personal responsibility. Paul did write in Galatians 5 and verse 6, "For every man shall bear his own burden." The father, even though he may suffer because of his son's transgressions, does not bear the guilt of his son's evil. In verses 14 through 18, it speaks of an evil father that begets a good son. It is true that this is a possibility because other influences in the son's life, fortunately, overshadows the evil influence of the father's life and example. Probably many sons have been good people in spite of their father, and because of the good influence of their mother or someone else. Some sons, seeing the results of a wicked life, choose to walk differently from their fathers. And while the son is adversely affected in many ways from having an evil father, the son does not bear the guilt of his father's sins. Again, the theme is the same. Each one is personally responsible. Verses 19 and 20, especially the first part of 19, explains why this is true. The question is asked, why does not the son carry the load of guilt? And verse 20 responds, because of personal responsibility. Righteousness is of value to the righteous. Wickedness is destructive of the wicked. In verses 21 through 24, we are taught that one man can turn from his evil, and if he chooses, he can turn from his righteousness. How good it is when men realize their transgressions and repent of their sins and are forgiven. And how tragic it is when men who have walked in the paths of righteousness fall from the good and pursue the paths of evil. The path of life for the wicked is to turn from his wickedness. The path of death for the righteous is to turn from his path of righteousness. With such teaching, how can anyone honestly contend for the false and deceptive doctrine that one is once saved and then cannot be lost? Why, this passage ought to silence that false doctrine once and for all time. But in spite of the Lord's teaching, there be those who continue to hold to their denominational dogma, their Calvinism, and misinform others regarding God's truth. The Lord takes no pleasure in punishing the wicked. The threats of punishment are designed to turn the wrongdoer from his ways and to the manner of life that leads to eternal life. Punishment has the ability, when rightly administered and accepted, to correct and prevent people from going to their destruction. We all realize this is true with regard to the upbringing of our children. The chastening that comes from God is because God loves us, Hebrews 12 and verse 6. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10 teaches also personal responsibility, the same thing that Ezekiel was writing here in the 18th chapter. Paul said, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in the body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." Romans 14:12, "So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God." Friend, the teaching is unavoidable. Each of us stands personally responsible for the way and manner we conduct life. And verses 35 through 32 mentions how some complain it was not fair that the Lord insisted on this. But the Lord contended that this approach to the matter was the only fair and proper approach. This way of passing the buck was unequal and unjust. Verses 26 and 27 repeat the benefit of turning from evil and the tragedy of turning from good. Man is a creature of choice. Man is capable of charting whatever course of life he decides. But whatever course he follows is that for which he must give an account and he must take the consequences. Verse 30, "I will judge you, O house of Israel, every one according to his ways, saith the Lord." Now the certainty of the judgment is as real as the fairness of personal responsibility. My dear listening friend, cannot we see, as much as we might wish it so, that we cannot be saved for another? Nobody can render obedience to God in the stead of another. If this could be done, every faithful father and mother would make sure that their children would be saved. Every righteous son or daughter would ascertain the salvation of parents. Every good wife and every Christian husband would do whatever could be done to save their mate. But that matter cannot be escaped. Nobody can be saved for another. There are some things in life every person must do for himself or herself. Obeying the gospel in order to be saved is one of them. Obedience nor disobedience can be transferred to somebody else. In our duty toward God, we have personal responsibility. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.